if you could take time and answer the question. The question was, name a person that you consider close to you who has taught you an important life lesson. Okay? A person who was close to you who has taught you an important life lesson. Who's that person? What did you learn? And how did you learn it from them? Okay? So, important person, close to you, taught you an important life lesson that to this day you hold. Who was that person? What did you learn? And how did you end up learning it from that person? Okay? All right, so I'll give you 30 seconds to think about it, and then I'll give you 3 minutes to discuss it with a person next to you, near you, far away from you. So you may have, I think somebody's coming in. I think Stephen, I just saw somebody else come in, so you may want to wait. All right, so I'll give you time. Ready? Yeah, you can already begin to discuss. Ready? And go. All right. All right, and time. That time. Charity, we'll start with you. Let's hear a few answers.
I was something that my best friend taught me, resilience. Mm-hmm. And I learned to use with her, with watching her go. She went through dental school.
Okay.
Going through boards. It's been a long process. I feel like I've been in there with her, but I definitely have not technically. Yeah, so just watching her and being able to see her speaking with God in the midst of going through things and
okay.
Her study, her discipline and study, all that.
Okay. All right. Ms. Hannah, what about you?
Listening.
Okay, who was it?
It was a teacher in grade school.
Okay, okay. You learned listening.
Yes.
Okay, how'd you learn it?
Well,
how'd she teach it to you?
She always says when she's teaching, listen. Do not be talking with your children. If you do not listen, in my days in school, you were getting.
Oh.
So I had a few of those before I started to listen.
Okay, and then consequence. Let's just call it. Okay, Gerald, what about you?
One thing that I picked up was from my dad. He always told me, take every opportunity and run away from the bad.
Take every opportunity to...
Take every opportunity and run with it like a bad apple.
Okay. So what is it? If I were to summarize that, so this would be listening. This is making the most of every opportunity. Yeah, like make the most of every opportunity. All right. How did you learn that? How did he end up teaching that to you? Because apparently it stuck.
Yeah. Got up on his soapbox and preached for about 2 hours. Got into me and my brother and I.
How often? To our lectures regularly. All right. Cindy, what about you?
My dad taught me not to use drugs.
Okay, don't do drugs. Okay.
So he would, it was back during the just say no era, and he knew that sort of thing wouldn't work for me. So he actually sat me down and, we would talk and he'd tell me both the positive and the negative.
Ooh, right.
And allow me to
talk.
make the decision based on knowing all the actual information. And it stuck. It's never been something that I've even wanted to do because I recognize both the good and the bad to it.
Nice. All right, we began with this question because we realized that there are people around us who share and impart important values that they have or characteristics that they've developed through the years to us, sometimes consciously, intentionally. Like here, this was drilled in. This was a discipline process, right? This one, like, I am going to sit you down and I'm going to share. And I'm going to keep sharing until you get it. Right? So constant, recurring engagement on a topic. This one was kind of passive on the best friend's part. She lived it. You got front row seats watching day-to-day interaction, right? And so that's what we're talking about today. We're going to tackle impartation and internship today in our leadership class. So, just to recap where we've been. Last week, we talked about the first two I's, We have four I's, which we call leadership multipliers, or the elements that will help you develop yourself as a leader and help other people grow in their leadership as well. The first I is identify. And what do we mean by identify? Well, we're saying, it's important for me to say this. We believe God created every person with a purpose. And there's God-given potential in every individual. So in no way are we saying certain people are more valuable than other people. All right? So that's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is in time, certain people are available and ready to grow in leadership when others, for whatever reason, just aren't. Okay, so you might be in a small group, for example. Maybe you're in a life group right now. And as we think about this, you're going, who in this life group can grow in leadership that one day they can lead another life group themselves, right? So you're looking at your group like, oh, this person has problems, this person has problems, this person has problems, this person has problems. Everybody has problems, right? You never outgrow problems. You never outgrow challenges. You never outgrow, you know, situations in your life, which makes it hard. But you're looking for something else. And so the first I we said was identifying. What are you looking for? The act of identification is looking at your group and going, who in this season can I invest my time and energies on to help them grow? And what you're looking for is faithfulness, availability, involvement, teachability, and hunger for God. So in the world that you're in the context that you're in, you're looking who here has faith. And when you identify who this person is, you're going, all right, I'm going to start prayerfully considering how can I help this person grow. Then the second I, we said, once you identify who that person is, then you take time and help instruct them. And we said we instruct them with the Word of God. And instruction deals with the mind, the head. You help them grow in their knowledge. You help them grow in their understanding. You help them grow in their application. How many of you remember Romans 12 says, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So much of how we actually live out our Christianity is first a situation where we have a mindset that sometimes is different from our stated beliefs. I want to say that again, because your beliefs will always dictate your behavior. Now, it's possible you have a stated belief that is different from your deep-seated belief. You can say, oh yeah, I believe God provides. And then when you're in a situation where the financial situation is challenging, you now start panicking. What's the difference? Now your behavior is reflecting what you really believe. And so transformation comes from the renewing of your mind. We're saying if you want to grow in leadership, you need godly instruction of the Word, so that your mind starts becoming renewed. So then you will be able to understand His good, pleasing, perfect will, right? And instruction can happen in multiple forms. We didn't tackle that last week, but yeah, obviously face-to-face instruction, class instruction like this. The nice thing is technology has made it available now for us to have instruction that's independent of this kind of interaction, right? The letters that Paul wrote were a form of instruction. In those days, in order for you to send information out, you had this long letter and you had a messenger go and bring it to them, right? Today, you can get instruction by opening your phone and downloading, you know, just videos, podcasts, just material like that. So instruction can happen in an impersonal way, okay? Now, that's the first two I's. Today, we're going to tackle the next two I's, which is impartation and internship. What is impartation? If instruction deals with the head, if instruction deals with the head and helping people renew their minds, impartation deals with the heart. Let me say that again. If instruction deals with our head, getting our minds right, impartation deals with our hearts. Okay? Last thought here, and we'll go explain each one, so I'll move on from the drawing. Internship, if identification is figuring out who from the group has faith in this time, instruction deals with the head, impartation deals with the heart. Internship, you could say, deals with our hands and our feet. Getting us to do what we want to do. Okay, so we'll tackle each one. We'll start with impartation. So, Romans chapter 1, it says there, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." You know what this is? This is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the Romans. So, in this letter, the book of Romans, the epistle that Paul wrote to the Romans, you could spend a lifetime studying that. It's that rich. The amount of instruction you get from this significant letter from Paul, okay, it's a big deal. There's so much instruction in there. Okay, the first few chapters explains the fallenness of man, then he goes into the reality of the gospel, and then he goes into the application of how that impacts their life, right? So there's just so much in there. But look what he says in the very beginning, Romans 1, verse 11 and 12, he says there, "I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift." This really complex, really important letter to instruct, in Paul's mind, was still not enough. In his letter, he says, "I wish I can see you face to face so that I can impart spiritual gift and strength to you." Okay, that's an important distinction. We can get instruction from afar, but if you really want impartation, you got to get close. That's a big difference. Okay, now, you know, for example, in a teaching environment like this, do you get some impartation? Yes. In the preaching of the word, do you get some impartation? Yes. That's not what we're talking about. Okay, really, when you talk about these things, life lessons get stick. That are so hard to dislodge from your soul, it's almost always because someone in proximity lived it out, taught it to you consistently, and really shaped you the way a potter would shape clay. You know, if we are clay, my kids love playing Play-Doh right now. The only way for that to get shaped is there needs to be some kind of actual action and manipulation, and you actually got to press, pull, you know, you got to move it. Now, how if you know if you're the clay, you get kind of, it's like, and you feel that, right? So the Apostle Paul could provide teaching and instruction to the early church through letters, but he expressed his desire to see them in person so that he could impart faith and spiritual strength to the believers. So, while instruction is about the head, again, knowledge, understanding, theology, impartation deals with our hearts. Okay? So, leaders are not made in a classroom only. If anything, if we rely solely in classroom lectures to grow leadership, this is probably the reason why there's such a lack of leadership, even in the local church today. Okay? People who run businesses know it's just not a matter of more training. Okay? So, a few verses. Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Proverbs 27, verse 6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy." Okay, what are these verses about? These verses talk about people who we value, who speak into our lives, need to be up close and personal, and we need to have some deeper relationship with them, right? So what is impartation? In order to equip the disciples in leadership and ministry, Jesus knew that they needed more than a good sermon. So he invited them to be with him, not only to model the principles that he taught them, but to actually impart his very own life to them. His life was the ultimate object lesson. We see that in Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. It says, "He went up on a mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him." So meaning, there was a big crowd following Jesus already. Okay, that's important for us to understand as we read this context. A lot of people were following Jesus. However, he selected 12 who had faith. Right? He identified 12. He said, all right, these 12 I'll call to myself. He appointed them. We now call them apostles. So that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. So you see, what had happened is he goes, all right, there's a big crowd that's constantly following me. I'm going to pull out from that crowd 12 people who in this season I will invest myself in. They're going to walk with me. They're going to hang out with me. They're going to eat with me. I'm going to bring them around as I do ministry. So I can impart something more than just teaching. More than just lectures. So if you see, you look at the parables. He'd tell a parable to a crowd. And then later on in the scripture, like the parable of the sower and the seeds, you see the disciples sitting down with Jesus going, all right, Jesus, could you explain the parable to us? It sounded profound. But we didn't get it. We think it means this. And you know, it gave him a chance to really interact with them. Oh, all right, let me explain to you what this means. Right? So, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, listen to this, look at that, highlight this. Peter and John had just preached for the very first time a message that brought 3,000 people to salvation. And then they were captured and brought before authorities, right? These authorities looked at these two fishermen, and look what it says there. They perceived that they were uneducated, they were common men, and they were astonished. How could these people who were uneducated and common, not one of us in their minds, be able to speak with so much authority and power? It says they recognized that these people had been with Jesus. Okay, the way Charity learned resilience from watching and interacting with her best friend, right? Can you imagine Peter and John being with Jesus? Something rubbed off on them. That the people couldn't discern. They were just like, there's something on you. It's because you were with Jesus. Okay? And that's what it says in Proverbs 27, verse 17. Just as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And what we see here is this process of shaping and molding and refining and friction happening through proximity and relationship. Okay? So, Paul actually instructs Timothy not to be hasty in the laying on of hands. We see this in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. So he says, don't be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. So now, he is referring to ordination in this context. So, ordination has an aspect of laying on of hands. But what we do know is this, if I'm going to lay my hand on you, I got to get close enough. But clearly the principle here is, in order for us to speak life, to impart life, to shape character in another person's life, we need to be close. We need to get close enough. Right? So, what are the goals of impartation? The goals of impartation are the development of spiritual gifts, impartation of strength, and mutual encouragement. Again, Romans 1, I've been reading this verse, so we'll go back to it. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Romans 1, verse 11 and 12. Some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So the first one that Paul wanted to impart was spiritual gifts. Okay, impartation is not about leaders giving their gifts to others. Rather, it's about identifying what the Holy Spirit's already deposited in them and directing them towards where they can best use their gifts to serve and strengthen the church. Okay, remember Saul when he was, before he became Paul, right? He was blind. The Bible says Ananias, who the only thing we hear about this man is he was a follower of Jesus. That's the only thing we hear about him. He didn't want to go to Saul because he goes, that guy's been murdering Christians. I'm not going to go to him. And Jesus said, no, go, because I have something he needs to hear. And he needs to do something for me. So this guy who's just a standard everyday disciple from definition goes, lays hands on Paul, shackles, you know, scales fall off his eyes, and Saul begins to minister. And now we don't hear anything else about Ananias. And then so much of scripture now is about the apostle Paul and what he does to bring the gospel out to the ends of the earth, right? Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because of this. Ananias was not an apostle. All he did was faithfully obeyed God to identify, follow through, impart, lay hands, healing happened, launched Paul into his purpose and destiny. Right? He in fact says that. If you read Acts, you hear the story. He goes, you're going to do this for Jesus. And Paul does. Why am I saying that? It's important for us to recognize it's not about Ananias was an apostle, he laid his hand, now another apostle got birth. No, it was about obeying God and identifying and following through that launched somebody into a destiny very different from what Ananias did. Okay, so I think it's important for us to recognize that I don't have a gift of healing. That has nothing to do with it. Okay, when you're working with a person in your group and you realize, man, this person has a strong gift of encouragement. Encourage it. Call it out. Pray with them. Lay your hands on them and begin to believe God. Lord, we will fan into flame what is in us. Okay? As leaders, we help those we are leading identify, stir up, and develop their spiritual gifts. For these potential leaders to grow, they will need to be connected to other leaders as well. Okay, now, once somebody pointed it out, like for example, for me, somebody encouraged me and said, Carlos, you know what? I think there's a grace for you to prophesy. Because I notice when you pray, and the scriptures that come to your mind as you pray are very much relevant to what the person is going through. Which is very interesting. I go, oh, I didn't know that. And so because of that person taking the time to point that out to me, gave me the chance to then go, what kind of trainings are available in church that I can learn that more? And so I engaged in those. I got some basic training. And then I looked later on when you talk about internship, who are the people around me who are willing to help me learn this? And so that's the other thing that I did. Eventually, I started to grow in the gifting. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, and now I'm able to serve in that way. It wasn't, you know, a random thing. I'm actually now able to do it with training and proficiency. So, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 says, do not neglect the gift you have, which is given to you through by prophecy when the council of elders lay their hands on you. You know, there's something to be said about when people lay their hands on you and call out a gift of God in your life, stir it up. Believe God for it. Engage in opportunities to grow in it. Okay? Paul identifies Timothy's spiritual gift. However, it is Timothy's responsibility to steward and grow in that gifting. Okay? Next, strength. Okay? The Apostle Paul wanted to see the saints in Rome to impart a spiritual gift to strengthen them. Impartation makes us stronger. It helps empower and strengthen us through godly, loving relationships. Okay, and again, as we noticed, proximity is significant. Proximity is significant. Okay, ask yourself this question. I think it's in your notes. Do you put strength in people around you? Like when people interact with you, do they come out stronger? Like do they feel stronger by being around you? Huh. Or do you sap their strength? Do they come out weaker, tired, depleted, frustrated, irritated? The word encourage means to put courage in, to put strength in. The Bible says the word to encourage one another daily. Are we encouragers? Or are we those that draw and withdraw courage from others? One person gave me this visual. He said, there are two kinds of people. People who walk around carrying buckets to pour on other people, to fill their cups, and people with straws to go to people's cups and suck life out of other people's cups. May we be encouragers. May we be people who wake up every day and draw from the life of living water coming from Christ that fills our own buckets. So we walk around with the grace and an ability to go, oh, let me pour courage in you today because I have an overflow. may we not be the people who walks around going, who can I suck life out of today? Because I need it. Because I need it. You know, needing life is valid. We all need a source. That's fact. We cannot generate life on our own independently. We all need a source. Are you the kind of person that when people leave the time of interaction with you, come out stronger, encouraged, brimming with energy and life? Or are you the kind of person, after interacting with you, they come out and they're like, oh, I'm so glad that's done. I'm now going to need to recuperate and gather myself in. Which one are you? Obviously, I hope you're the first one, not the second one. But in order for us to be that kind of person regularly, we need to know where to draw our own strength from. And impartation is about sharing that strength. So if you want to be a leader first, you got to get good at drawing strength from the right sources. And you know, I'm not always strong. So I need to know, when I'm not strong, what do I do? When I am not strong, who do I go to? Who can handle me in my moments of weakness? Yeah, does that make sense? Sometimes parents, because the only interaction they have are with their kids, they lean into their kids so that their kids make them strong. Like, you need to finish school well and get great grades. Why? So that I can wake up every day thinking, I'm a good person. I'm a good mom. I'm a good dad. You know what that is? It's using your kids to draw strength. It needs to be the other way around, isn't it? As parents, we need to develop a strength in us so that we can constantly interact with our kids in a way where we're going, let me pour strength in you today. Let me pour strength in you today. That has to be our day-to-day. Now that begs the question, if you're that parent, then where do you draw that strength? You gotta have that place. What happens when you're not okay? Where do you go when you're weak? Who do you talk to who can help manage you and pour strength into you in times where you need it? Right? That good? Think about that. Okay, and lastly here, like I said, we've already got into mutual encouragement. One of the cool goals of impartation is the mutual encouragement of the faith. That's interesting. When you develop other people, one of the most exciting things is fanning their flame up, fans your flame up. There's just something about that. The more you talk to people about God, the more that double-edged sword also sharpens you. And one of my favorite things is to teach the Bible, because every time I teach the Bible, I hear the Bible myself and I get super excited about it. Okay, so when it comes to developing leaders, growing leaders, building life and faith in other people, you know, just revisiting many times foundations, like going through one-to-one with people, it's a foundations material. But when you go through it, it just strengthens and encourages you, yourself. Okay, so impartation can happen. Through impartation, the faith of new leaders is built. And as we see growth and faith in those we are leading, we ourselves are encouraged and strengthened in our faith as well. Okay? Any questions on this? Spiritual gifts, strength, and encouragement. That's what we're trying to impart. Ultimately, it's Christ-like character. I think it's helpful for us to think in terms of Christ-like character. In the Bible talks about 9 spiritual gifts. Okay? And I saw this as a drawing, so it was helpful. Okay? I'm not going to draw it because I'm bad at it. Okay? But if this were a bird, it's going to be a very bad drawing. I'm going to try to draw it then. If this were a pigeon or a dove, the Bible uses the visual of a dove for the Holy Spirit, right? If this is a dove, okay, that's the head looking up, all right? So it's going to be horrible. This is the dove's tail, okay? So there. The dove will have wings, right? And that's actually working out, okay? Okay? Holy Spirit. Many times there are 2 main lists in the scriptures that relate to the Holy Spirit. One is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? You see that list in 1 Corinthians. Okay, but the gifts of this Holy Spirit are, you know, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of prophecy, faith, healing, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, you know, miracles. So the gifts of faith, they're 9 in Scripture. And then the fruit of the Spirit. So gifts of the Spirit and fruit of the Spirit. Now, interestingly enough, and I won't have time to deal with this, you'll have a spiritual gifts course already. Did you already have it? Okay, but the fruit of the Spirit, it's one fruit, but there are 9 descriptors to that fruit. Okay? It's one fruit, but there are 9 descriptors. So, and it's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Right? So, when you tackle the fruit of the Spirit, it's one person shared that with me, and he goes, those are the 2 wings. And I was like, oh, that's a good way of thinking about that. Again, that's like very helpful for me to remember. All right, they're gifts of the Holy Spirit and they're fruit of the Holy Spirit. And obviously, God wants us to manifest and grow in these areas together. Okay? Well, what's important for us to recognize is this. Gifts are given. Fruit is cultivated and developed. That makes sense? If you're going to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, it requires something very different than the gifts of the Spirit. I can lay my hands on you, stir up the spiritual gift of God in you, and you're going to manifest prophecy, tongues, not because you cultivated it, solely because God gave it and you appropriated it by faith. When it comes to the Holy Spirit's fruit, though, it requires what John 15 talks about, abiding in the vine. So when we tackle impartation, there's a component where you're laying hands on people, you're calling out gifting, you're acknowledging what God has given them, and you're teaching them how to appropriate what's given to them by faith. But when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, how do you help another person cultivate that fruit? Anybody who's ever done gardening of any form, farming of any form, knows that the behaviors and the habits of cultivating fruit is different from opening gifts. This is one way, straightforward. Go, guess what? You have this. Wow! Let's enjoy. Let's interact with it. Receive it. That's simple for gifts. When it comes to fruit, if you're imparting Christ-like character in other people, cultivating, plowing, watering, seeding, very different. And impartation, many times, if you're doing work on growing a person's Christ-like character in their heart, a lot of it is that. Clear? Yeah. All right, so how does impartation shape group leaders? And we'll go into internship right after this. We must recognize that those we are leading will watch and imitate how we live. People will follow what we do, not just what we say. How do you know that's true? Okay. Therefore, like the Apostle Paul, we should be willing to open our lives to others and model what it looks like to follow Christ. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Okay? Real quick, just take a moment and think. If you think of people around you imitating your Christ-likeness, okay? Identify 2 or 3 people that you consider close, who, because they're close to you, will watch you and see your example, right? They will see your example. Whether you like it or not, they will see your example. So identify 2 of these people in your mind. Just like 2 people who you know are close enough to see your example. Got it? Okay, I want you to take a moment and on your piece of paper, just write down, what am I comfortable for them to imitate right now? What am I comfortable for them to imitate right now? About your faith, your walk with God. What about that are you comfortable for them to imitate right now? Like, I set a pretty good example in that area. Okay, just take a moment, write down what you know. Try to do more than one if you can, just for pressure. Oh, I don't like doing this. Now, pause, flip the question. What am I not comfortable for them to imitate right now? The idea of them imitating you in this area scares you. It's like, ooh, I don't want them to catch that. I hope they don't notice that. You don't have to write this down, but think about it. Why was that uncomfortable for you? Like, this one, I don't want them to imitate me right now. What's the reason it comes to your mind? Like, ooh, I don't want them to copy me in this area. I don't want them to watch me and imitate me in this area right now. You don't have to write it down. I want you to note it. I want us to get to the place where we can confidently live a life that you can stand in front of other people and without pride tell them, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul just being able to stand in front of another person and say, follow me as I follow Christ. If you follow me, because I know you don't see Christ every day right now, you're growing in Christ, you don't really know him that well, follow me. Because when you follow me, you'll get there. Wow. What a bold statement. That statement acknowledges that he is completely engaged in following God himself. He does not fear another person getting lost and losing sight of Christ by following him. Imagine that. Just feel that weight a little bit. The example you're setting, that you can confidently tell other people, follow me. You'll get to Christ by doing that. Wow.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think, I'm not going to say what I thought. I think for me, when I got married, I thought, you know, that was an eye-opener, you know. Because your husband is so close to you, he knows your faults, your weaknesses and your strength. Then I had kids. And now throwing the Bible back at me. But mommy, didn't you say?
Don't do that to me.
Yeah, they throw the scripture back at me, and I homeschooled. So, and then like, mommy, but the fruits of the spirit, if you're not having patience right now. Like,
oh.
So, yeah. So that is, and this class has taught me to just calm down, because I'm not a calm person.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Impartation is proximity.
Yeah.
You are imparting. That's fact. You are imparting. Are you imparting the kind of example that lets them follow Christ in greater ways? And this is not something I'm stating as a downer or a burden. I'm trying to expose the reality. And recognizing that God, in his sovereignty, has given us a way to draw spiritual strength from him and is positioning us in a way of influence where we can now bring and share that strength to others. But it does cause you as a leader to recognize and puts you, you know, it keeps you on your toes. That every day, am I engaging that life source? Am I engaging those living waters? You know, am I at that place? If you want to be a leader, then you will be held in greater account. And that's a reality. That's a reality. I remember one of the students, I was high school ministry, we were talking about the scripture that talks about how we will be held account for everything that we know. You know, that everything that we know about God, we will be held accountable to that. So this one high school student raised his hand in our small group and he goes, Pastor Carlos, I don't want to do Bible study anymore. I go, wait, what? Why? And he goes, with the things I already know, I'm not doing a really good job of it. I don't want to be held accountable for more. It's a very interesting situation. And I think that's probably why in Ephesians, Paul prays, I pray that you know God better. Mm-hmm. And in Daniel, they says, those who know their God are strong and do great exploits.
Oh, no, I was just going to piggyback on what she said. I actually wrote the same thing. I had the lack of patience and anger. It was crazy that she said that.
The same thing now.
The lack of patience and anger.
Oh, Lord, give me patience right now. Right now, Lord. I need it right now.
And as you said it right now, the great thing that happened to us and for the grace of God is having and holding on in His Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can, you know, as you said, Maya said, when our children are growing up, and my children are now 19 and 26, oh gosh, that is very difficult. Because they point at you easily. And so throughout this year, it's something like very strong to me. Don't wait on your strengths. Do not wait on your discipline. Do not wait on your knowledge. Don't wait on anything but the Spirit of God, God in you.
Yes.
Because at the end, nothing else.
Because we're not perfect. Probably one of the most important skills I will teach my kids is asking them for forgiveness. As the authority in the home, as the leader in the home, humbling myself in front of those younger than me, less knowledgeable than me, not as strong as me, and recognizing my weakness and apologizing to them for it, shows them and teaches them an example of this is what it means to rely on God. Where we need God because we cannot on our own. I don't know if that makes sense right now. I probably say it in another way, but there's nothing that I've seen that teaches my kids more of the grace of God. More than me preaching it to them. As much as living it out by living out that example. I need God's grace. Because I am not perfect. So in no way am I excusing my imperfection. Again, repentance and forgiveness is an act of turning away from that imperfection and going, I'm not going to do that anymore. By the grace of God, I walk the other way. But for them to see me run that process with them. And I go to God, God convicts me, Carlos, you were impatient right now. You were very curt in what you said. You know, you tore down instead of bringing up in that moment. I did, didn't I? And you know, when you do that, when you're worship, you know, when you're trying to worship God and He points that out, you can't worship, right? You got to deal with it. And so I'm dealing with it. I recognize that. There's nothing more powerful than me then bringing that to my kids and exposing that and asking for their forgiveness. That tells them, whoa, that's what that looks like. Because one day they will have to do it themselves. If anything, that's probably the most important skill I can impart to my kids. How to go to God because you cannot on your own. And if I can teach them that, I've done a good job. Because the reality is, you know, they will not be great people apart from God. If I ever teach them how to be people of character and conviction independent of relying on God, I've actually failed. That makes sense? Something to think about, huh? All right, it gets us to last point here, internship. So if identification, seeing faith in people's lives and saying, Lord, give me the grace to be able to invest seasons, moments, time, talent, treasure, tears to help this person grow into their calling and giftedness. Instruction is then giving, being good with the word and helping them gain knowledge, understanding, to know God better and renew their minds. Impartation is this journey of helping cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in others and pointing out and helping them get illumination to the gifts that have already been given. Internship then is the hands and the feet. Okay, so Luke chapter 10 verse 1, after this the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. So just as Jesus gave the disciples opportunity to preach and serve, we can help potential leaders grow by giving them similar opportunities. Okay, our ministry is not built around the pastors. Rather, we desire to develop more leaders who will help fulfill Christ's mandate for the church. We desire to set up the next generation of leaders for success. Internship is activating the hands and the feet, allowing potential leaders to watch and follow others and giving them opportunities to serve. Okay, one of the things my second daughter loves to do is bake. Now, by bake, I'm talking about the Betty Crocker box baking, all right? The first time she tried doing it, it was a failure and it was a mess. My wife, who does not like having to clean these messes, you know, could easily go, let me bake it, so that there's no mess and it'll come out right. We don't waste the money and all that. However, what it doesn't do was develop a skill in somebody who needs the time to learn it, make the mistakes, and grow, right? And so internship is really about creating this environment where people can try. And they may make a mistake, but it's about trying. Does that make sense? So many times internship's about, all right, I did this, now it's your turn, good luck. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about creating an environment where I am alongside with you. We're going to read the instructions together, even though I can do it with my eyes closed. I'm going to handhold you through the process and walk with you step by step through the process so that you get there. And then the next time, we're going to do it again. And do it again. Until I slowly remove myself from the equation to see if you can do it on your own. Okay, so let's look at Psalm 78, verse 72. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. So we see two things that David was described at for his leadership in Psalm 78, verse 72. First, we see he shepherded them with an upright heart. So the first thing that we see is an integrity of heart. So why is impartation so important? Deals with a heart. Okay, so that talks about character development that comes through, you know, iron sharpening iron, impartation. But second, he was considered a great leader because he led them with skillful hands. So this is about leadership skill and developed that is developed over time through internship. Okay, so if heart and integrity of heart is cultivated through impartation, then skillful hands are developed through internship. Okay, David led God's people with integrity of heart and skillful hands. These two core leadership essentials address both the internal and the external. Integrity of heart is about character. Skillful hands are external, which we get through on-the-job training and actual practice. So what is internship? Internship is on-the-job training for biblical discipleship and spiritual leadership. It has three stages. First one, observation, then participation, and finally, evaluation. Now, it's important to note this in the beginning, all right? Internship can be formal, actually applying for a job, as an intern. I know in Bethel right now we have an internship program that's active, helping people who want to go into campus ministry. You know, people, so students who are graduating from university who feel called to do campus ministry, sign up for an internship program. And they do it for a few months, get trained, go through various roles and responsibilities. And at a certain point, they evaluate, is this something I feel is God's call over my life? Leadership evaluates it with them. And is this something I want to do for this next season of my life? So it could be formal that way, or it could be informal. You know, it's like going up to, let's say, Pastor Bruce Fiddler, and go, Pastor Bruce, you know, I really want to learn how to read the Bible and understand the Bible the way you do. Is it possible for me to join you maybe once every month? You know, in a 1 hour, I bring you out to lunch, and, you know, you just help me read my Bible. Help me understand my Bible better. Oh, sure, I'd love to do that. Right. All right, great, lunch is on me, and Bible's on you. All right, so that kind of thing. That's the setup. All right, so that's an informal one. We talked about it, we agreed it upon it, and we did it. Or, you know, you're participating in a trip, and let's say a 10-day trip, which is a short-term outreach, and Pastor Mike Cantrell or Pastor Philip Seal goes, all right, could you be the person helping me doing this? And I'm going to teach you how to do this, right? That could be another way these things can happen. Okay, so whether it's informal or formal, it involves specific responsibilities and skills being assigned and developed. Both formal and informal internships are valid and important. Internship can help us identify potential leaders. So internship takes learning out of the classroom into real scenarios and puts the concepts and information that we learn through training or education into practical application. So it's one thing to be taught, here's what the God test is. It's another thing to go with another person and present the God test to somebody else. Okay? Classroom training makes more sense with on-the-job training. And again, Mark chapter 3, we read this already. He appointed 12 so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. He showed them how to do it first and then he sent them to do it. Told them how to do it and then he asked them to come back. And evaluated with them how it went. Okay? So, what are the goals of internship? Internship, again, is about creating a controlled environment for potential group leaders to develop their confidence, their competence, and teamwork in ministry. So, specifically, we're using this framework primarily, probably the best, most easily accessible venue for you to apply this is your small groups. If you lead a life group or if you're part of a life group, that is the single best venue for what we're learning right now. Okay, number one, confidence. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Okay, so when we talk about internship, one of the first things you're developing is that the person feels confident to be able to minister to others. Okay, one of the things we used to teach in Manila is a language called One Chapter Ahead. It was an early church. We were just starting, and we were all students. And what we would tell them is like, as long as you are one chapter ahead, you can teach somebody else. If they become one chapter ahead of you, they're teaching you. And so the whole idea is you don't need to know everything. You just need to be confident in what you know. And as you grow in your knowledge, you become more confident in that. But what's important is that you share. And the practice of actually trying to interact is more important than, I can't do this until I've finished BLI, for example. No, you can do it right now. You can share what you know right now. Because you probably know more right now because you're one chapter ahead. Okay? And so think like that, like I'm one chapter ahead. I can do this right now. And so that's what we're hoping to help you cultivate. If I'm leading a small group, for example, if this were my small group, I'm looking and saying, Stephen, Gerald just joined us. You're one chapter ahead. Okay, I'm doing one-to-one right now with Cooley. Here's what we're going to do. Remember we did one-to-one before? Oh, we finished it already. So you know the whole book. He doesn't know anything. Okay, so you can read chapter 1 with him. If you want, we'll do it together. I'll read chapter 1. We'll do chapter 1, 2, and 3 together. Chapter 4, 5, 6, you'll do on your own without me. And it, you know, so this exercise is about creating an environment. He's never done it before. And how do you know? Because he went through it himself with me. I'm hand-holding him through the first 3 chapters. By 4, 5, and 6, he's going, of course, you don't need to show up. I can finish this, right? Guess what happens? After he does that, Gerald comes out, and he's great. I'm now telling Gerald, oh, guess what? Q's joining our group. Gerald, you can do it too. Remember the way? It's like, really? Is it that simple? Yeah, actually it is. What if he asks me a question I don't know? Good question. One of my most important skills I developed was, that's a good question. I don't know the answer too. Let's go figure it out together. Or let me ask a few people, and next week when we get back to the group, in the meantime, you look at it, and let's talk about it. You don't need to feel the burden ever to be the most knowledgeable person in the room. Okay? What I think you do need to develop is a habit of being faithful. Because what God commends is not knowledge. In fact, he warns us of it. Knowledge puffs up. He commends us for faithfulness. So as long as you're one chapter ahead and you're being faithful to follow, you can confidently look at another person and say, imitate me here. I'm confident in this. Imitate me here. Yeah? Okay, so confidence. Number 2, competence. So now there is a place for skill. Okay? When I first started to pray, I didn't know what to pray. So a lot of my prayers were, Carlos, could you pray for us? Lord God, Father God, thank you, God. God, Lord, Father, Lord God. We pray that, God, Father God. Like, I haven't completed a sentence. You know, it's just all lots of calling God's name, probably in vain. And so it first started teaching me, all right, Carlos, here's how you can pray. You know, let me teach you a tip. Because I don't know how to pray like you. Whenever you pray, it sounds so like God's really listening to you. I don't know what I'm doing. And it goes, all right, think of some of your favorite verses when you're praying and pray that. What do you mean? All right, what's the one verse that you love? God so loved the world. All right, then start there. It says, Lord, you love the world so much you gave your son so that whosoever would believe won't perish but have eternal life. Just notice that? Yeah. Simple, right? All right, let's try again. What's another verse that you liked? Oh, trust in the Lord. All right, let's try it. Pray it. Lord, I trust in you with all of my heart. I lean not on my own understanding. Lord, in all my ways, I acknowledge you. And Lord, you will direct my path. Amen. All right, stop. What did you just do? You just prayed a powerful prayer. Yeah, like a person was teaching me, I go, is it that simple? I think, like, I don't know how to pray hedge of protection. I don't know where that word comes from. You know, just like, there are all these Christianese words that I feel need to be put into prayers. I don't know. You just need to learn how to read your Bible and pray what the Bible says. Oh. And when you're leading another person in a group, in fact, the simpler your prayers are, the easier it is for them to get it. I go, whoa. So somebody was teaching me how to pray. Isn't that what the disciples did? They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he gave us the Lord's Prayer. They asked, Lord, teach us. And he taught them. Right? So competence. How do you know you could get better at praying? I can get better at praying. But at a certain point, you know, I don't pray heretical prayers anymore, so that's good. Okay, so we want to be equipped by 2 Timothy 3:17, that a man of God may be equipped, may be complete, equipped for every good work. Okay, so the last one here is teamwork. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will stand. Will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. And one of the most important internship opportunities is teaching people to work with other people. It teaches people to be dependent, interdependent, to rely and recognize they're not all that. You know, every self-made man has a whole lot of people backing them up. And we just don't see it because we celebrate the person on the platform. We don't recognize the people who helped build that platform for them. And when we do internship, it's a conscious, intentional effort to put people in community. Because, you know, you think of the greats in our world. They were never just great on their own. But we live in a culture that celebrates individual greatness without recognizing the community that helped achieve that. Okay? And so, how do we intern? So, there's a box there on your notes. It should say, internship process. I lead, you watch. I lead, you assist. You lead, I assist. You lead, I watch. That there? Okay, so how do you go about it? Well, like we said, you begin by observation. So I'm going to lead, you watch me. And then at a certain point, it shifts to participation, which then goes into I lead and you will assist. So I'm still doing the bulk and you're going to help me on a few. I'm going to do all the mixing of this Betty Crocker brownie. You put the eggs. Okay? Next time we do this, you will lead. So you're reading the recipe, you're following everything, and I'm going to assist. I'm just going to watch. Oh, that's the wrong setting for the oven. Oh, don't put that first. You got to put this first. But you're doing most of it. Finally, you lead, I watch. What's the difference? I'm still there. Internship is still happening. Many times we're too quick to go, you can do it now. And we leave so we can do something else. But in doing so, we short-circuit the internship journey. They haven't developed confidence that they can do it on their own. They feel better knowing you're kind of there watching over. Just in case something wrong happens, something goes wrong, you're there to help them. But for the most part, they're already trying to do it themselves. How do you realize even in work, this will help? Okay? Parenting, this will help. Okay, so internship. And finally, evaluation. Just like Jesus asked the 72 to come back and report how it went, I think the evaluation process is equally important. It's actually in evaluation that we learn the most. Because many times we don't realize what we did to succeed, nor do we recognize what we are doing that is still causing us to fail. But it's in that exercise of articulating what we did right or what we did wrong, how we could do things better, that it solidifies in our mind and in our hearts, here's the path to success. I think many times it's our lack of evaluation that causes us to not grow as much as we should. Okay, in your notes, there are a lot of examples of internship there. I won't read through all of it. Let me summarize. Internship is on-the-job training, putting what was learned into practice and giving potential leaders opportunity to minister. Again, three stages, observation, participation, and evaluation that results in confidence, competence, and greater teamwork. Okay, so we're going to take time to pray. I think as it relates to takeaways, my big encouragement is this. Think back to being able to be an example for other people. And what we're going to pray is that the people you identified earlier, you're going, that you would grow in your confidence to be able to tell them, you can follow me because doing so will help you follow Christ. Okay, let's pray. Lord, help us to be great imitators of you. Really, that's what it says. As we follow you, others can learn to follow you too by following us. So I pray as we end this time together, may we be great at following you. And give us opportunities to impart courage, strength, really that we would be people who speak life, not draw life from others. May we be known by people around us as people who are overflowing with your life. And may that manifest in practical ways so that whenever it's with people, they will go, surely God is among you. Huh. May you be present in our relationships. And may our relationships impart life and strength. May we be that kind of people. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.